Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Conor McGregor way in of free speech because we've stepped on staring down our opponents. But unlike the Conor McGregor weigh-in, there's nothing particularly embarrassing going on. None of that stuff. It's not at all embarrassing. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundings to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. Okay, and so we have with us Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you again, Patrick.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we're staring each other down. I'm just making a reference to Conor McGregor.
Indeed, he usually has quite entertaining press conferences and weigh-ins and things like that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into the details of why sometimes they're a little bit embarrassing, but whatever. Okay. But they are. Sometimes they are. So we've got stuff going on in the world. How long is the Western countries like Germany or Britain or America, how long can they keep up the pretense that they're not at war with Russia?
Well, I think that genie's out of the bottle officially now because of what happened. The other question, of course, is how much more is Germany prepared to take? How much more destruction is it prepared to permit of its country, of its industry, of its economy? How much more compromising of its national interests is it prepared to allow? So this whole audio leak of these German generals discussing essentially how to blow up the Kerch, the best way to blow up the Kerch bridge in Crimea. I don't know exactly what the full details of the I have not read the full transcript, but I think it essentially speculates about how many weapons they would need, how many of these Taurus missiles they would need, where is the best place to target this bridge. And it would be, from what I can gather, from what I understand, it would be an operation which would be carried out by German soldiers themselves. This is highly embarrassing, of course, and this comes on the heels of Scholz himself only a few days earlier publicly, emphatically stating that no German soldiers would set foot in the Ukraine war theater after Macron's comments. So this is highly embarrassing, and of course the speculation is among geopolitical commentators that I've listened to since, including Alexander Mercouris and Douglas McGregor and people like that, is whether Scholz actually even knew about this. His position has been, again, officially not to send in those Taurus weapons because they have the ability to reach Russian territory, and this is not something he was prepared to do. So he's either been lying and he knows about it, or you have a serious situation where probably the Pentagon, Victoria Nuland, and people of her ilk are bypassing Scholz and dealing directly with the German intelligence services and the German military. But this is highly embarrassing. And of course, we've all knew that there's been German and NATO troops in Ukraine, training and using weapons. The other thing that the phone call did reveal as well, they unknowingly threw the British under the bus because they revealed that the British are there, and they are the ones basically assisting and carrying out and operating those Storm Shadow missiles that the Brits have sent. So again, highly embarrassing for the Brits. Sorry to go on, but since then, both Scholz and Pistorius have come out And rather than focusing on the content of the embarrassing leak, they want to get to the bottom of it. They, you know, both have admitted it's embarrassing, but they want to get to the bottom of how, you know, who's responsible and how this leak could possibly have managed to have found its way into Russian intelligence and then, you know, onto Russia Today. So not looking at the content, which is obviously concerning, because we've all known that these guys have been operating, but this is very embarrassing. Now you have absolute evidence where these guys are sitting there talking about these weapons going into Ukraine with them operating it. So you have German soldiers attacking and arranging attack on Russian territory, which, you know, at the end of the day, Russia would have to respond to. And this has caused some panic and, you know, anxiety with Scholz for sure in Germany, because Russia, if that, you know, Russia, if that, if an attack like that was to go ahead, Russia would be well within its rights to hit Berlin. We would be off to the races with World War III officially.
So, yeah, there's this pretense that this is a war between Ukraine and Russia, and it's so thinly veiled. And you had over the past week or so, I think since the last time we talked, French President Macron, who, you know, at times tries to put himself forward as a potential mediator, but then he's gone extremely hawkish, saying that Russia must not be allowed to win. Well, they've already won. And they like, oh, the Union must not be allowed to win the Civil War. Well, it's over and done. This is it's a done, and talking about Russian boots on the ground, you've had this, what is the Estonian prime minister who is a chick, and she's
who cares? I mean, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia. Sorry, no one cares about your crappy little company. Sorry, Estonians, Latvians, but, you know, I'm sure you're nice people and everything else, but no, you're not important. You don't have anything. And by the way, neither do the French. You know, I think Macron likes to make himself out to be a big guy sometimes, you know? And I think he's like a guy in the bar who's had an argument with a guy, you know, 20 feet away, and there's like a dozen security guards between him and the other guy, and he's like, yeah, let me at him. Let me at him, because he knows, you know, it's never going to happen. You know, he knows that French troops are not going in to Russia, but he can act like he's a big guy. I think that's part of it. I think that's, you know, we can only speculate as to why this clown talks the way he does. But the French, unlike the British, from what I understand, looking at their military capabilities, they are no threat. They are in no position. They are largely irrelevant when it comes to the whole equation. They pose no threat to Russia. So I think that's maybe what's going on with him. You know, he knows that even the French people wouldn't have it. There's been massive protests in Paris and other French cities since then that saying no to war with Russia. Let's get France out of the NATO, all sorts. And again, I think Macron knows this. He knows that the French people will never allow him to send French troops there. So he can talk a big game knowing it's never going to happen, you know?
Well, yeah. I don't really think it's going to happen, but still, they're playing this game where you've got the various Europe countries, and they are sending you know, military assets, military aid, and to an extent, personnel to Ukraine. So, I guess the boundaries of the current conflict is, you've got Russia and Ukraine fighting in Ukraine. You've got Ukrainian backers who are sending massive amounts, completely enabling it, massive amounts of aid. All the aid that is required, everything that Ukraine is using currently is coming from these Western countries. Plus, on the sly, it's understood that it's happening, but on the sly, a certain amount of military personnel into Ukraine, and the Russians have been tolerating it to the extent that the these weapons, these attacks, are only on Russian personnel in Ukraine, but they're not going to be on Russia. So if you attack the Kerch Bridge, for instance, which is important infrastructure that connects which Russian province? When a Russian province in the Northern Caucasus, or just north of the Caucasus, to the Crimean Peninsula, and people should look on a map, or better yet, a globe, because the world is spherical. They should look and look at the shape of the Crimean Peninsula, and it's virtually an island, but it does have a narrow isthmus connecting it to, I guess that would be Kherson region in what was the Ukraine. And then it divided from that part of Russia by the narrowest of straits, narrow enough that Russia built a bridge over it. And so it's connected by a bridge. So it's got these two points of contact with mainland Eurasia, one to the north, one to the west. And so one to the east, and the one to the east is this Kerch Bridge. It's absolutely Russian infrastructure. It's absolutely, Russian sovereign territory. And to attack that, and they also talk about supplying these longer range missiles so that ostensibly Ukraine can hit, Russian cities. What are some of the Russian cities nearby? But they can hit Russian cities nearby in what's always been Russia. And of course, who's going to be operating these systems? At the end of the day, it's really going to be Western countries. So increasingly, you're getting a situation where Western countries are not just going to be fighting kind of semi-stealthily fighting Russia in Ukraine, but using Ukraine as a base of operations to attack within Russia. And this is exactly what Putin had been complaining about and warning about and saying back in 2022, we can't permit this kind of expansion. We can't permit this kind of military involvement because you all are going to use Ukraine to attack us. And here they are using Ukraine as a base of operations to attack Russia, and they're talking about it in some cases kind of openly or thinly veiled, but it was not intended for public consumption. But there you go. We know they're talking about it.
Yeah, the other thing they revealed on this on these clips was that I think they speculated that they were giving Ukraine maybe 100 of these missiles, but incredibly on the same conversation they said that they admitted that these missiles, you know, even 100 of them are not going to make any difference, pretty much that Ukraine are done, that it's not going to make any difference to the war. And even that bridge, apparently, you know, it would be an inconvenience for Russia if that bridge ceased to exist, but I think they have alternative, you know, backup plans, because it is a civilian bridge, but there are, you know, military equipment that is transported across that as well. But I think they've got other backup alternatives to that bridge as well, apparently, the Russians. So it seems that it'd be more of a, you know, it seems that the West are a bit obsessed with that bridge. It seems to, for them, it's, you know, for the West, it seems to be some sort of symbolic victory if they destroy that bridge for the propaganda war, and for the, you know, be an absolute shot in the arm of the narrative, I guess, if they destroy that bridge. But these soldiers, these generals themselves said that these 100 Taurus missiles are not going to make a huge difference in the final equation. And, you know, I've been wondering, you know, if you do, and considering how much of this has been conducted, you know, as a media campaign, particularly in light of the failure of the military campaign over the last 12 months, I wonder how, you know, we've had this leak from the New York Times about these 12 CIA bases on the Russian border. Then we have, on the heels of that, Macron talking about troops. And now we have this leak, you know, from the German audio. And I'm wondering, is this all part of the plan? In other words, because this kind of force, this is, in other words, are they escalating rhetorically where they are failing to escalate militarily? In other words, now that this Putin has known about these, the presence, and he's been killing Western soldiers in Ukraine, he's known about it, but it makes it much more precarious because now he loses face if he doesn't respond. Okay, they haven't hit that bridge. But if a Taurus missile or a Storm Shadow missile now does manage to find its way into Russian territory, it's now official that the British are operating, you know, are carrying out these operations, not the Ukrainians. So you got British soldiers firing Storm Shadow missiles in Russian territory, and you got potentially German soldiers who might still fire these missiles, Taurus missiles, into Russian territory, and then Russia is forced to respond, or they completely lose face. What do you think of that? Because I don't know, are the Germans that incompetent? And by the way, I'll just quote you what Scholz said last week before this came out, when he was talking about the Taurus missiles, just days before this. He said, quote, "I'm surprised that some people aren't even moved by it, that they don't even think about whether what we're doing could lead to a kind of involvement in war," Scholz told reporters in Berlin on February 26, "that the UK and France, both of which are already supplying similar cruise missile systems to Ukraine, did have personnel on the ground there. This is a very far-reaching weapon," he said, "and what the British and French are doing in terms of target control and support for target control cannot be done in Germany," Scholz said. "Everyone who has looked at this system understands that." So this is why it's kind of shocking as well, because it seems now that, you know, is Scholz a sneaky little liar all along? Or literally, has he been completely undermined that, you know, they've just sort of bypassed him? But what do you think of that theory that this is how they're escalating it? They're now putting Putin in a position where he almost has to respond now if there's a Storm Shadow missile or a German Taurus missile fired at Russian territory, whereas before he could have said, okay, it's not going to make a big deal on the big scheme of things. These are, you know, we know they're there, but we're going to eventually crush this whole situation anyway. And if we need to go to Kiev, we need to go to Kiev. But now he has to respond, surely.
Okay, so as a lot of people know, I'm not a believer in the plan, the singular plan. I think different people have plans and agendas, and you know, there's a certain amount of competition between them, because sometimes there's coalitions between them. So there may well be people like ultra hawks, like Victoria Nuland, who would apparently seems willing to escalate. And is willing to certainly risk World War III, if not necessarily willing to embark on it. But she seems to have a much higher tolerance for risk of a civilization-ending Armageddon than any sane person would, any normal person. So there, I think there may well be people in various countries who are willing to continue to provoke Russia, because Russia was provoked by the Victoria Nuland plan. Russia was provoked into sending this column of tanks into to the Kiev suburbs 2 years ago and knocking out Ukraine's, I guess, most of its airstrips, military airstrips and whatnot. It was provoked into the invasion, the special military operation, whatever you want. And so there, it wouldn't be.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Most of its airstrips, military airstrips and whatnot. It was provoked into the invasion, the special military operation, whatever you want. And so there, it wouldn't be surprising if there are people like Victoria Nuland, and there's crazies in all these countries who would be willing to provoke an escalation to get Russia to respond even further, maybe get Russia to attack NATO bases in Romania, or I don't know how big any NATO bases in
Finland or somewhere.
Yeah, Poland, wherever that might be some people's plan. I think also, though, I think for some people, and these are people who are politically minded, looking at elections, and there's the presidential election in the United States, and Trump at the time, for now, Trump seems to be the favorite, but there are scenarios where Biden or a Democrat could win. And these people like Tony Blinken or Jake Sullivan, who don't seem quite as aggressive as Nuland, that they might be thinking more in terms of ways where they can save their jobs. You got somebody like in Britain. I had Mark Collett on the show on Monday, and he said current projections are if the British elections were held today, the Tories would only retain about 20 seats in Parliament out of the 600.
Yeah, they are absolutely in the toilet. And now, and George Galloway has thrown a serious cat among the pigeons and has openly, you know, essentially stated his intention to completely undermine Keir Starmer. Are you listening? Today, things are changing. You got to love George. I mean, I don't agree with George on everything, but this is a guy who's had Scott Ritter hosting his show as well as a guest. He's had Douglas McGregor on. He doesn't support Israel. So I agree with him more than I don't. And he's a principled guy. And it's a unique situation to have a principled guy in the parliament, you know, even if you love him or hate him. I felt the same way about Corbyn. I'm at the opposite spectrum of Corbyn in so many issues, but he's a principled man. He's not bought and paid for, you know, so, but he doesn't have the charisma or the oratory skills of George Galloway. And George Galloway is going to cause a lot of problems. I mean, I don't know how this is all going to shake out, but Labour are, I mean, they're in a lot of trouble now, you know. Yeah, so the Conservatives are really at an all-time low, and with George Galloway now winning this seat and becoming an MP again, he is going to cause huge problems for Starmer and Labour as well, and he's actually on record of saying that it's his intention to do so, and basically outlined that, you know, these guys are the same, and they're both establishment. Rather comically, he refers to them as two cheeks of the same backside, basically. So he attacked both Starmer and Sunak. And like I said, he will be, if not unique, rare in the British Parliament of someone who's not bought and paid for, who's not an establishment lackey. And, you know, like Jeremy Corbyn, but he lacks the kind of charisma. Corbyn, you know, like I said, I'm in the opposite end of the spectrum from him in many ways, but I respected the guy because at least he too has some integrity and he's not bought and paid for, even though he lacks the testicular fortitude probably as well as the charisma and oratory skills of Galloway. So it's going to be very interesting and refreshing to see Galloway back in the British Parliament sticking it to them. They're going to be a real nuisance. He's going to be a real nuisance for them. I'm sure they're not looking forward to it. I forget how we got onto that topic anyway, but...
We got on to it. So I was talking about there may be some people in Western governments that are trying to provoke Russia into World War III. Then I said there. I think
there's no doubt.
Yeah, and I think there's some who are more concerned about electoral chances, and so the Biden entity is on its back feet, but still viable. The Tories aren't really viable anymore. There's hardly any scenario where they're going to maintain a majority in the next election. But when you think, I mean, what if they have such a collapse that say Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson, these people.
We were at a party. Dear Lord, fell in the day. Someone reached in and grabbed it.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
She went away for the holidays. Says she's going to L.A. But she never got that. She never got that. She never got that. They say, yeah. The KKK took my baby away. They took her away.
Election. But when you think, I mean, what if they have such a collapse that, say, Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson, these people lose their own seats in Parliament? Because it looks like right now that about over 90% of the Tories are going to lose their seats in Parliament. And we've seen that kind of collapse. I just want to remind people that in 1993, there was an election in Canada. And the Canadian Conservative Party was the ruling party. They Brian Mulroney had led Canada for, I don't know, like 10 years or so throughout the 80s. Then he had resigned, and they had this hapless woman named Kim Campbell for a few months. And then she led the party into elections, and they got absolutely destroyed. Maybe they came out of it with one or two seats. It was no more than two seats. They were absolutely destroyed, and so for even people like Sunak, he might see the writing on the wall in terms of number 10 Downing Street, but these people could be humiliated to the extent that they lose their seat in Parliament. So the reason I'm bringing this up is I think that by engaging in so much potential escalation, They talk tough, and then there's no escalation because the security guards at the bar hold them back. Then they can say, "Oh, if it hadn't been for those security guards, man, I would have let loose on that guy. Yeah, I would have." Yeah. Right? And so
exactly,
you could get your. I think you're that there is an element of the, for instance, in the United States, the administration trying to build up this to build up Trump and the House Republicans as the fall guy. We were standing up to Putin. We were doing this, but then they wouldn't pass our aid budget. Then they wouldn't send such and such missiles or such and such fighters to Ukraine. They held us back. We would have totally knocked, we would have cleaned Putin's clock, but they wouldn't let us. They undermined us and use that as an electoral strategy to either cling on to office or at least not be completely humiliated. So that's my response.
Yeah, and but just back to Putin and the escalation, and I think it really is a small group of people who are hell bent on this escalation, no matter what. And I think it is driven largely by Victoria Nuland. And I think one of my frustrations is with this methodical approach that Putin has taken, is that it's taken too long. And the longer it goes on, the more opportunity there is for an escalation. And the West, and people like Victoria Nuland, they realize that they are losing there. And these people don't like to lose. We're talking about God's chosen people here, and we're talking about people who are psychopaths and no limits when it comes to their belligerence. And I don't think Vladimir Putin understands what he's dealing with. I think Vladimir Putin thinks if he keeps having successes, eventually they're going to capitulate. I don't think he realizes these people are never going to capitulate. So get yourself into Kiev, get it all wrapped up, get rid of these people as quickly as you can before it does escalate. Because the other possibility is they might try and escalate it before the election, knowing that if Trump comes in. Because as far as I'm aware, it was in the last sort of 20 years, the only time you didn't have Victoria Nuland in the State Department running the show was the 4 years that Trump was president. So they might even try and escalate into a wider conflict before the elections, before Trump even gets there. And then who knows, they might pull a Zelensky. Oh, well, in wartime, we have to cancel elections. These people are capable of anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. And the thing about Putin that people need to understand, that you wouldn't guess it if you just simply relied on the Western media, is that he's very cautious. He's very
cautious.
Right. I mean, I mentioned Victoria Nuland. She's willing to tolerate all sorts of risk. And Putin doesn't. He is not a risk taker by nature. Sometimes he's forced into it, but he is very cautious. And I was talking to a normie, a 75-year-old normie who's smart. He's a smart guy, but he's a normie and he watches probably PBS News or NPR, the kind of might read the New York Times. And I was explaining to him that, look, the opposition to Putin in Russia, and there is opposition to Putin, it's not it's not people who like Navalny and support the West. The opposition to him has been the Communist Party, which is far more anti-Western than Putin. And after that, the next biggest party is typically the Liberal Democrats, which was until recently led by the late Vladimir Zhirinovsky. By the way, both Zhirinovsky and the communist leader Gennady Zyuganov are both friends with David Duke. I mean, friends, I don't know, but they have both had nice conversations. David Duke has been to their parliamentary offices and whatnot. Who are pretty hardcore. And Putin is cautious. And, history only unravels itself one way. It only reveals itself one way. And so you can always go back and say, well, if only this and only that, and without really knowing how things would be. So Putin has been cautious. Should he have launched the military operation sooner? Should he have thrown down the gauntlet sooner? Should he have not tolerated such and such? Maybe. Maybe things would have been better. We don't know. But what we do know is that so far we've avoided World War III. And if you put yourself in Putin's head, and, you know, Putin came from a family, grew up in Leningrad, now St. Petersburg. His a brother that was born before, I mean, Putin wasn't born until, what, 1953. But his parents had a baby during the early 40s that died. He had a brother that died during the siege of Leningrad. And if you look at the world wars, so I think World War One was it 17,000, 18,000. It was, I think, in the teens at least. Russians, people from the Russian Empire died in that war. And I think in World War II, it was like 27 million. They have, by far, they've lost more people in these world wars. And so, whereas, you know, the United States lost, something up to upwards of 200,000 in the First World War and maybe upwards of 400,000 in the second. So you can understand being risk averse, not wanting to involve.
Of course.
Involved in the Third World War. And so he's been very, very cautious. But, you know, you keep poking at some point. Here's the thing. At some point, if the West keeps playing this game of using surrogates and attacking stealthily, well, at what point does I mean, we've already had the Houthis sink, I guess, a British commercial ship.
Yeah, they're all the comic.
At what point does the Russians via Hezbollah, via the Syrian government, via Iran, participate in the sinking of an American aircraft carrier, for instance? When does that happen?
It's a very, you made some very good points about Putin there. And the problem is, I mean, they backed him into a corner, really, when it came to considering how cautious and circumspect he is generally. With his invasion, or, you know, going into Ukrainian territory in the first place. And my fear is that that's what they will do eventually. They'll make it impossible for him not to respond. And, you know, there'll be pressure domestically as well. You alluded to, you know, people sort of in the West like to think that there's all this political opposition and there's all this unrest in Russia against Putin for his warmongering. But the reality is the greater frustration among the Russian people is he's not been hard enough. They're like, get this done. Get these scumbag murdering Ukrainians and these NATO scumbags provoking us. Get in there and get this problem dealt with. What are you waiting for? You know, that is the frustration in Russia more than, oh, this is a horrible war. Yes, of course, there's some bourgeoisie in St. Petersburg and Sochi and, you know, the wealthy Moscovites who are, you know, sybarites and have no other meaning in life except for their sybaritic endeavors. But that is, you know, the minority in Russia. Russia's a very big place. To be honest with you, that is my concern as well. Now, on the other hand, you have Medvedev, who seems to be sort of Putin's, like I mentioned before, sort of with the analogy of like he's kind of like, yeah, this kind of salivating Siberian wolf that Putin occasionally loosens the leash on a little bit, and you know he's like Putin's alter ego. Now he's talking about the Russians are going to have to go into Kiev, and not only that, but to split the rest of Ukraine up. So go back to the borders that were previously there, where Poland had some of that territory, Romania had some of that territory, and Russia will keep the territory it has, probably in addition to Odessa and whatever else it needs, and just basically carve the place up. This is how Medvedev's talking, you know? But I think the sooner they get on with it, the better, because I really don't like this kind of escalation. And the other thing that I wonder about, surely if people like McGregor are correct, and we don't even need McGregor, we can have sources over here in the UK, for example, ex-military forces, even current concerned voices in the British military, for example, that the British military is a shambles. I mean, they tested the Trident missile system last week, and that didn't work. So, and then there's been so many weapons have been sent to Ukraine by NATO countries. We're not able to produce the sort of artillery shells to the same degree and scale that Russia are. So even if it did escalate, why are we led to believe, you know, I was listening to Scott Ritter and some other people yesterday, where they're talking about this will end in a nuclear exchange and the end of civilization. Well, I mean, Ritter, for a start, is very prone to, you know, emotionalism generally. I find him quite tiring, actually. He's Mr. Hyperbole with everything. Every day is just a big drama. But
you're talking about
Scott Ritter, but yeah, and some other guys. But does Russia, do they really need to resort to, you know, against these impotent Western nations, even previously great nations like Britain and France and nations like that, who are no longer a threat really or strong? Does Putin really need to actually escalate in a nuclear manner? Couldn't, yeah, don't they, isn't he strong enough? Isn't Russia strong enough, I don't know, to be able to manage this situation with conventional war? I don't know. It's like, if we're as weak as some of these experts say, why would he need to start using nuclear weapons? You know, I mean, surely he could bomb Berlin, France, London, and what are we going to do? Not that much, I imagine.
Yeah, well, I don't see him bombing Berlin or anything like that.
No, he might not, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. The point will come, though, where if it's officially in the open, the Germans or British, not Ukrainians, are on Ukrainian territory and striking these kind of long-range missiles and causing significant damage on Russian territory, he's going to look like a fool. He's going to look weak if he allows that, and including in front of the Russian people. So yeah, he will be forced into responding in some kind of way.
So, yeah, and what, like a response, an escalatory response from Russia, if they were going to do something like that. So I mentioned before, attacking American or British military assets in the Middle East, but you'd also have, as sitting ducks, basically, you've got American military installations, NATO ones, in Romania or Poland, fairly close to Russia, certainly bordering on Ukraine, and that would be laying down the gauntlet, right? It would be an attack on NATO. Okay, NATO, you want it, here you go. And something that wouldn't have any civilian deaths, but you'd knock out some military assets and potentially some military personnel. And I don't see Putin really doing that. I see him just kind of playing the long war. 'Cause, like, people will criticize him because saying, look how long things are going on. You've had maybe upwards of 500,000 brotherly Slavic Ukrainian servicemen die. Oh, Putin's part of the plan. He's part of the plan to destroy white people because he's killed, you know, 500,000 or at least hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian service members. Look, he's part of the plan because 30,000 Gazans have died. But, but remember, from what I was trying to emphasize before, from Putin's historical memory, you had 17 million Russians die in World War I, 27 million die in World War II. And so his tolerance for this level of death, if he's comparing it to World War III's, I don't think that shows he's part of a plan. I think it shows he's got a different perspective, and he's willing to tolerate tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of current enemy soldier deaths, even if they're people that he has a ethnic kinship with, and, you know, tens of thousands of Middle Eastern Arabs that he doesn't have kinship with. He's willing to tolerate that as part of a long game where he sees at the end of this long game a new international system evolving where you've got a Russian-Chinese partnership that is going to be dominant.
Sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buvant dans mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris. Mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi. Poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois. Un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
When a problem comes along,
you must sweep it.
Before the cream sets out too long,
you must sweep it.
When something's going wrong,
you must sweep it.
Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it
into shape. A new shape international system. Evolving where you've got a Russian-Chinese partnership that is going to be dominant.
And a threat to the dollar, which upon Western and Jewish hegemony largely rests. So that's another concern. In other words, in terms of escalating. if they feel that their hegemony is slipping away. Another interesting report I saw was from a guy called Stephen Byron, he's a former Pentagon official, and he said, quote, "It is now clear that Ukraine has significant manpower problems, and its attempt to use forceful means to corral potential recruits is causing unrest in the country, including in major cities like Odessa, Kharkov, and Kyiv." And he went on, "Zelensky's security situation in Kyiv could rapidly come under a terminal shadow. In these circumstances, the Pentagon could rescue Zelensky and move him elsewhere, with Lviv being the most likely place, as it is far in the Russian in the west, and challenging for the Russians to reach if they wish to deal with Zelensky using military means." So, you know, these people are, you know, they're talking in a way where they know the writing's on the wall here, you know, beneath an ex Pentagon chief.
Yep. Well, okay, I think we are pretty much up at our time limit. I want to thank you for joining me, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me, Patrick. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk and, you know, parse out some of these things and speculate and conjecture and do our best to figure out what's going on in the world.
Put it into some sort of perspective, make it a little more understandable for people.
Indeed, we can try.
We can try. Okay, well, thank you, and I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Okay, so Paul and I, we recorded that early on Tuesday, the 5th of March. While we were recording that, news broke that Victoria Nuland she was canned. There's no way that she just quit. She was canned. And it would have been fun to talk about that with Paul, but we didn't get a chance. Okay, one thing I am going to mention. So Gonzalo Lira put up a video. If you go on nationalbugle.com and you look on the left-hand side of the war column, you will find a link to the Gonzalo Lira video. And in it, he calls Victoria Nuland a very attractive woman. You know, why was he... He said, well, yeah, she's gotten kind of fat as she got older, but she's a very attractive woman. And I don't know if he was just trying to get on his good side or whatever, but she wound up having Ukrainians arrest him, kick his chest in, his lung collapsed, and then he caught pneumonia, and they just left him to die. So I don't know if it really got on, helped him get on her good side. I don't know what her good side would be like. What is good is good riddance. I'm not a vindictive person. Obviously, I think she is the most dangerous person on earth, so I'm glad that she is no longer in the State Department. I would like for her to sit in the corner with the dunce cap on for a very long time. And with that, I will welcome you.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.